What episode are we on?
39, I believe. Which is crazy because we were on 38 about 4 months ago. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Inside the D. It's been a while, right? It's been about 4 months since we've done our last episode, and a lot has gone down that we're going to get into today. We all promised that Eco was going to get his spotlight to talk about Italy winning the Euros, so we're going to start things off with that.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely the biggest thing to happen in the soccer world over the summer, the Euros. It was a fantastic tournament. I think it was entertaining for everybody, especially the final. I have to say, one of the most entertaining games I've ever watched, even though it was such a tight game. Obviously, it was very special moments for me. I got to celebrate in Italy with Italy winning, and it was just amazing. I was so happy with our team. I mean, if you look at the team we had, we definitely had a weaker team in terms of like the players we had compared to everybody else. But when we all come together, I mean, you could see it from the start of the game at the national anthem. We had the most heart out of everybody. We wanted to bounce back from not qualifying for the World Cup, and we had our goal in mind, and we knew we were going to get there. And big ups to the coach. He really turned us around. I mean, he turned us into the best team in Europe, I'd argue even in the world. And, you know, I think it was just a fantastic tournament from all of us. We didn't lose a game. And I do have to say, everybody performed amazing except one player. And even though we won, I do have to criticize Ciro Immobile. Awful tournament. He truly was not – I don't want to say he sucked, because he obviously helped us, because he was in the starting lineup almost every time. But he was the least influential player on our team, on the field. I don't know what he did in the locker room, if he was, you know, a leader for the team, whatever. But yeah, and I gotta say, I do not like him because he left us this summer. But when he's wearing the Italy kit, Donnarumma is just he's a whole different breed. I mean, the guy is an incredible goalie, and I've been saying this, you know, back when he was on Milan. He's the best goalie in the world. He's going to be the best goalie in the world forever. I think he will be the best goalie to ever play soccer, if he ever starts over Keylor Navas, which we don't know, because right now he's played one game this whole year. So we'll see. But last thing, Chiesa, obviously, you got to highlight it. He kind of carried us through the tournament. He was phenomenal. Very young talent. Again, back, I think, last year. Transfer summer or transfer window last summer, when AC Milan was looking at him, I really started watching him, and I've been saying he's a fantastic player. And then this Euros really helped him level up in popularity with the rest of the world and the rest of the teams.
Yeah, and I think that it was fantastic to get his name out there. So I think that there were so many people who obviously don't watch Serie A week in, week out, don't really understand how much Chiesa means to Juventus. And I think that, you know, the Euros really kind of propelled his name kind of to the mass markets, and people really saw this, oh, this young Italian winger is really good. He's really good. And then, you know, obviously Eco talks all about Italy. And I do want to also touch on England. Obviously, as an Arsenal fan, you know, gutted that Saka misses, you know, the deciding penalty. And, you know, the media's done their bits to, you know, support him. And obviously it sucks. And at this point, it kind of is what it is. And, you know, all the abuse that he got after is just horrible. I think, as everyone knows. And I think that, you know, England played a really, really good tournament at the end of the day. And we had some players like Calvin Phillips, who played just fantastic tournaments that I don't think anyone was really expecting him to turn up like that. Which, you know, makes me really happy, because I want to see my players like Saka do really well, and players like Calvin Phillips, who you don't expect to play that well, play that well to kind of, you know, help a whole nation do so much better.
You know, before I go to Italy, I do want to touch a little bit about the penalty shootout and the abuse that, you know, the English players faced, especially Bukayo Saka. I hate to get on a fan base like this, but when he missed that penalty, when Saka missed that deciding penalty, it's like you knew that was going to happen. You knew that he was just going to face so much abuse especially racial abuse. I mean, it was predictable in my opinion. We've seen this happen so many times with English fan bases, and it's just sad that things have to go down this way, especially because it's just, you know, at the end of the day, it's a game. Of course, passion is there. You know, it's bigger than life for most people, but at the end of the day, it is just a game. And the fact that this young kid who stepped up to take a penalty misses it and then gets, you know, these racist remarks towards him. Going to Italy now, I did at the end of the tournament, so earlier in the summer, write down some of my disappointments and some of my, you know, dark horses and all that, whatever. And I wrote down Ciro Immobile as one of my disappointments. I said, even though Italy won the Euros, Immobile was a very, very big disappointment because he didn't really do anything. He didn't do much. Chiesa stepped in and saved the day. There are two Italian players that I've always backed. Tonali, when he was at Brescia, and Chiesa when he was at Fiorentina. And I really think AC Milan should have splashed some cash on Chiesa. I heard that they were pretty close, right? I don't know.
We it was like a disagreement of like 7 million or something.
It'd be so worth it, that 7 million. You got Tonali, though. Again, one of the other players that I backed. But, I mean, come on. Italy, you can't argue now. They're the best team, the best national team in Europe, and possibly, like Iko said, even in the world. So, Iko, what does this mean for the World Cup coming up next November?
Well, I kind of want to touch on right before you said Italy's the best team in Europe, obviously, and in the rest of the world. I think in the rest of the world. I think it's really funny that after we beat Portugal, England, Spain, all three of those teams were still above us in the power, in the FIFA power rankings for national teams, which again, you know, you could try and say, oh, it was just one tournament, but we've been undefeated now for I think close to 40 games at this point. It's not just one tournament. Our team is fantastic, and the fact that you can put a team like Belgium above us, actually Belgium at one, when we basically manhandled them, like they got one lucky pen at the end of the first half and then they didn't get anything else after that. So again, I think we definitely should be number one. I think we are number one. We're the strongest team. We also have to see how Spinazzola bounces back from his injury, because he obviously was a big deal for us. I don't think at the moment we have anybody at that level to replace him. I mean, Emerson is, he was very, I have to say, Emerson was very good in the final. He was good in the final.
Good enough.
But he's definitely not a Spinazzola kind of player. So I do think we are still the best team. We might not have the best players, but as a team together, we are the best. And I think we have a very good chance of, you know, going deep into the World Cup, possibly even winning, if we can qualify for it.
After 2018, we don't know.
Yeah, and a massive thing that I saw today was the FIFA ratings, the world ratings were updated today. I believe Italy was still in fifth place behind, and I believe this is in order, I'm going off of memory here, I believe it was Brazil, Belgium, England were ahead of them.
Portugal probably, or France.
Yeah, maybe it was France was the other, which I think is ridiculous. When you come off of winning such a big trophy like the Euros and actually being, quite frankly, quite dominant in the Euros, I just don't understand how Italy isn't at least top two, if not the best.
I've always hated the FIFA rankings. I think they're very inaccurate. I've never liked them. And I understand maybe why Italy isn't quite up there yet, just because it's like an accumulation of points. So the fact that they didn't win make the World Cup in 2018, they have to take that into account. The fact that, you know, England made it far in that tournament, and then they made it far in the Nations League. But I just, the disrespect to Italy, really. Champions of Europe, and they're fifth in the world behind teams like England and France and Belgium, who didn't even come close to winning the Euros. I mean, obviously England did, but France, who lost to Switzerland in the knockout stages, Belgium, who lost to Italy. It just doesn't make sense to me. Italy should be further up there by far, not fifth place. It's disrespectful.
By the way, the top five is Belgium, Brazil, England, France, Italy, and then Argentina and Portugal behind them. So
I mean, all over the place. based off what Luke just said, the fact that the two teams that won their regional tournaments, continental tournaments, okay, Argentina and Italy are below all these other teams, which some of them got knocked out very early in the tournament. I mean, obviously Brazil went to the final. That was a very close final. But I mean, like, listen, France has a phenomenal team of players, but you know, what have they done? They won the World Cup, but they haven't really done much besides that. I mean, they played a horrible tournament. We saw their star player Mbappe, who I love Mbappe, and I never want to like dog on a player for having one bad tournament, because obviously the pressure of you know, playing for your national team, but he had a really bad tournament. Their defense just looked so weak. I mean losing to Switzerland, and again, like, you can't say they're above us when we played versus Switzerland, destroyed them, and then France goes in and loses to them again. How can you not be putting us above France? It's a joke.
I mean, again, the FIFA rankings are just, I don't want to say inaccurate, because they do have a point system, but they're just most of the time wrong in the eyes of pretty much every person I've ever talked to about these rankings. We missed a player when talking about Italy. I do want to talk about this guy right here, just because he is a Chelsea player. Can we just talk about the summer that he's had? Champions League winner, Euro winner, Super Cup winner, and then he wins Men's Player of the Year. Is this, and I know that this was a joke at first, but is he en route to a Ballon d'Or?
It's not a joke. No, yes, he is.
He is. I agree.
He's my Ballon d'Or vote. Absolutely.
He's mine as well.
Even though he wasn't even the best midfielder for Italy this summer, he's my Ballon d'Or
Barotti
vote. Absolutely.
Locatelli.
No, Barella. Hold on.
We all just said
Barella.
Yeah.
Barella.
I think that right there shows how good Italy was. That,
well, we Luke, just said relax four there different with the players. Locatelli. All right, listen, I love him.
Oh, but I wanted to sign him so bad.
He had one good game and got ridiculous hype.
It was only because he's like a young star and he had a pretty good game. I still think that, I mean, he just started starting for Juve. Like, he didn't start the first few games, but now he's starting to get his starting position. So he could be a pretty big factor in your guys' World Cup run.
Yeah, no. I don't know if he's getting into the starting lineup just yet.
For Italy?
No, Barella's better than him.
No, Girardi's, I'm just saying, you never know. Georgie depending on the season he has.
Yeah, and Barella is probably better.
I mean, Juve hasn't won a game in Serie A yet, so it's like, how well can you really do?
Luke brought up earlier, like, Chiesa is going to be a phenomenal player for Juve. You know he doesn't play for them right now. Allegri does not play him. He plays Kulusevski over him.
It's so funny to me.
And they, like, Juventus, I mean, I would have done this too, but they rejected, what, $120 million bid for him just for him to ride the bench? Like,
ridiculous.
What's happening over there?
Is it? Well, they consider him untouchable now. They wouldn't even let Chelsea and Bayern get a bid in. They were trying to get him towards the end of the window. They said no.
And he's sitting on the bench now.
How can you have an untouchable who's on the bench?
So crazy.
They're just a dying club.
They're thinking about the future in a poor manner.
No more Ronaldo. They don't have anybody. They pissed off all their players.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's getting paid. And now Ronaldo's gone. So
I do love how all these people were saying, oh, Ronaldo was holding Juve back. And now
Juve was holding
Ronaldo. Ronaldo carried them.
Yeah, Ronaldo carried them.
Oh, hold on. Pinaldo carried them.
Oh, don't be one of those.
Yeah, goal's a goal. Went in the back of the net.
What do you want him to do? Miss him? It's the same with Bruno. It's like, come on. I hate those comments. See, Pinaldo, Pessi.
Well, listen, with my nan in net, he probably would have missed them. What a player. We'll touch on that later. We'll get there.
But you mentioned Spinazzola and obviously the horrific injury that he suffered. Was it an Achilles tear?
Achilles.
He's going to be 29 years old when he comes back from that injury. It's not old, but it's not particularly young, right? Is he going to be the same player he was this Euros after he comes back from this injury?
Well, I think a big thing about him this Euros was his agility and the fact that he could just blaze on the wing and just get into a good position to cross it into the middle. And again, you really can, it's just a guessing game of whether or not they're going to come back the same or not. I think he will. I think he's got the heart to do it. You know, he's a battler. But it was really tough to watch that, especially, I mean, he really, the move that he made would have been phenomenal, but he really just didn't have to do it because we were winning the game. Like, the game was going to be one. He didn't have to do that move. It was a stupid, he was just, again, just trying to get up the wing super fast, but he tried to move too fast from a standstill, and it was sad to see. And it's sad to see because his career was like finally getting to its peak. Like he was getting all the hype. Maybe it would have helped him get out of Roma, but well, actually they're a good team now, so I can't say that. But yeah, you know, again, very sad, especially for a player who like him, who, I mean, he's like a Conte in Italy. He's like the most lovable player.
And, you know, I can only imagine when, you know, when you're watching the team that you love. So for me, Chelsea, Milan, Arsenal, right? And you see a player that gets injured like that, it's got to be tough on you emotionally as well, seeing one of your favorite players on your favorite team go down like that, especially an injury like an Achilles tear, which we don't know if players can come back from that. And like you said, he's just starting to enter his peak of his career. He didn't, wasn't really a big, you know, huge name in the world of football, maybe in Italy, but not really in the world. And this was the tournament that was making a name for himself. He was finally making a name for himself, and this injury just completely ruined it.
Yeah. And also, I mean, he was in a position which is, I'd say, our weakest depth wise. Again, I said it earlier, Emerson came in for him, who, again, not bad, but definitely compared to the rest of our team, left back was the one position that we didn't want to lose. I do want to touch on, he's not a left back. He is a left mid, but he kind of got brought into this left back right before the Euros. And then Italy was like, okay, let's try it out. A phenomenal left back. So I got to say, it was a great move for him.
Really was. And Luke, you mentioned that you don't think Jorginho is in your Ballon d'Or running. Why?
Because Lewandowski got robbed the COVID year. And I think that he deserves a Ballon d'Or.
He does deserve a Ballon d'Or.
So, you know, he broke the record for goals in the Bundesliga, I believe. So obviously I think that, you know, I think for Lewandowski, he deserves to get a Ballon d'Or. Like, it hurts me so much that he hasn't gotten kind of like that the award recognition that he deserves, because I think everyone knows the player that he is. But I think once you get that Ballon d'Or, like, you kind of get pushed onto another status of like being recognized worldwide as the best player. And obviously I don't want to down Jorginho. I think that he is a fantastic player, and he kind of won everything that there was to win. There was nothing left behind.
League title, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, I guess. But still, he won the Champions League and the Euros, like the two biggest tournaments that are out there. So as, you know, as a team player, that's kind of, you know, the peak of, you know, playing for a player like Jorginho. And obviously, you know, maybe his stats don't say that he makes as much of a difference for a team that he does make, but, you know, when he's on the field versus when he's not on the field, it feels like a totally different team for Italy and for Chelsea when, you know, he's absent.
I understand the Lewandowski thing. I too thought that he deserved the Ballon d'Or, in which they scrapped because of the COVID year. And yes, you know, he broke the goal record in the Bundesliga, rest in peace, Gerd Müller, of course. But I'm not a fan of, oh, he deserved it this year, so he should get it this year. Because then what about the players that deserved it this year? Like maybe Jorginho, is he just going to get it next year? They're just going to keep pushing it back. Like, I don't think it works like that. So I think Lewandowski should have won it in the year that they scrapped it, but you can't do anything about it now. And yes, Lewandowski's got a good chance of winning it this year. Messi's got a good chance of winning it this year. And Jorginho's got a good chance. I think that these are the top three. And Conte, you could put him in there, but I'm not going to put him in there. He won midfielder of the year.
Jorginho did more than Conte.
Yeah.
I agree. I think Conte probably had a slightly bigger impact on Chelsea, but Conte didn't win the Euros and didn't, whatever.
France did a France.
Right, France did a France. Well, wait, that's a thing? France won the World Cup?
Yeah. I don't know. This gets
is that a new thing that we're making up? France did a France?
I just don't think Lewandowski is the front runner for Ballon d'Or. Even if you want to argue that it's not Jorginho, it's going to Messi. It's either Messi. Messi's one, I think, for me. Mm-hmm. And then Jorginho two and three is Lewandowski for most likely. I think Jorginho should win it. But again, if Modric could have won it 3 years ago with what he did, Jorginho definitely should be in the conversation and a front runner for it. And again, when's the last time you saw a player who won basically everything he could except a league title in one season?
Pretty much Luka Modric, if any, was that this close to getting that done when, you know, if he won the World Cup.
Bayern, when Germany won it.
Yeah, but who won the Ballon d'Or? I mean, Frank Ribery should have won it in 2013, but he didn't. In 2018, do you guys think there was a player? I mean, I know there was. Do you think that there was a better player than Modric? Like, do you think Modric only won it because of the accomplishments that he had that year? Or was there a player that was individually better than him that should have won it?
I mean, Messi probably.
Yeah.
If I had to take a guess of a best player that year.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing. Probably Messi or Ronaldo. But I think that it came down to, like, the difference Modric made for Croatia. Like, he was kind of their player. Like, they kind of, like, he carried them, like, the whole way. So I think that, like, you know, a difference doesn't get much bigger than what Modric did.
Yeah, but I think it's also nice to, like, so many people were mad about the Modric. I thought it was nice. Finally, not a Messi Ronaldo. I mean, let's get another one this year where there's no Messi or Ronaldo. And, again, Ronaldo's not even in this conversation. So I think it should be Messi or Jorginho.
Lukaku's more in the conversation than Ronaldo is.
Well, no, he's not. But
I would say he is.
You're talking to a giant Lukaku fan, and I don't think
he's. By the way, Lukaku fan as of, what, 2 months ago? Oh, he's going to go get a jersey. Cool, dude. Get a jersey. Well, because he's their only player. Relax. Hey, come on.
What are you going to get? What are you going to get? A Skriniar jersey?
I had a Lautaro one before I had a Lukaku one.
Oh, so that's why you got Lukaku, because you already had
the right
player. I'm a collector, boys.
Get Handanovic on the back.
Well, hold on.
Yeah.
Are we done with the Euros? Because
sure.
Talking about Lukaku, Messi, Ronaldo. I think
you know what that means.
I think we should get into the summer transfer window. Obviously, the headlines of the window: Messi, Ronaldo, Lukaku,
Grealish,
kind of Sancho. Kind of Varane.
I say Grealish because he broke the Premier League transfer record. That's why. He may not have been the number one signing. Ronaldo was 15 million.
Yeah,
he was probably the best one.
Well, hold on, 15 million to get plus 30 million each. Plus
a lot of
years. Yeah, but I'm just...
it's probably a bigger investment
in the
than
fee.
Lukaku.
In the fee, it's
yeah.
Fee but again, I hate people who freak out about his wages per year, because think about how much money he's making the club by selling tickets,
so much
jerseys.
Oh my god!
Like a collectibles, all that stuff. Like he's probably making out double that money back for the club.
Yeah, didn't they? They ran out of jerseys.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Ronaldo and Messi.
Literally, they sold out of jerseys, and PSG ran out of Messi jerseys. Like, it doesn't. You can't make that. Like that. That's not something that you can just get so easily. Like, those signings are more than just like what they provide on the pitch.
And you know, when it comes to jersey sales, when I was younger, we would walk around and see everyone wearing a Messi Barcelona or a Ronaldo Real Madrid, right? Now it's going to be the United Ronaldo and PSG Messi. It's still Messi and Ronaldo. And like, I have a thing where I do not allow myself to wear any of the big six Premier League teams other than Chelsea. However, I am still a little tempted in getting a Ronaldo Man United jersey, not to wear it, but to have it because it's so iconic. So it's people like me that are Chelsea fans that even want a Ronaldo jersey. It's like, they are going to make an incredible amount of money selling Ronaldo jerseys and Messi jerseys for PSG. It's ridiculous. They're going to make that money back in 2 years.
I got a question for you guys to kind of help us get into the transfer window talks. What were your, just each of you, we can start with Luke Aiden and then I'll give my opinion. Your three biggest steals of the transfer window, you know, with talent, price, you know, brought into, I have three in mind. So if you guys want to think, I can go with mine first.
I've got two. And then if a third one pops up, I'll go back to that. But the first one's going to be Rafael Varane. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. He's won Champions League, league titles, World Cup. You know, I think that United got a really good player to play alongside Harry Maguire, who's only going to elevate the team. And then I think this one's a no-brainer. Ronaldo. You know, he's Ronaldo. That's more than enough right there, you know, goals. So, and let's go with Buendia. I'm gonna go with Buendia for the third one. I'm just curious what he can do for
costed more than Ronaldo.
Costed. I'm curious what he can do for a Aston Villa side that is really growing. They made a lot of good signings this year with the money that they got from Jack Grealish, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit. You know, they got Leon Bailey, they got Danny Ings. So I think that they're actually a team to watch out for. And I think that kind of out of all those signings, probably Buendia or Ings are the best.
Hold on. I got to stop you. You tried to correct my grammar. What was wrong with costed?
He costed.
I believe it's more. Just cost. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think costed is a word.
One Italian.
Live on Inside the D right now.
Been speaking Italian all summer. English is hard.
You didn't say Messi, did you?
No, I didn't. Because I know one of you guys are going to.
Hold on. Costed is perfectly fine.
Uh-oh. Is it? My bad.
We'll put a graphic right now here.
I am sorry. Okay. Ika, go on.
My three?
You want me to take it or you want you to?
If you got yours ready.
I have my three. Do you have yours ready?
You can go first. I know that two of mine no one has. So go ahead.
Well, this is a bit of a risky one, but Demiray Gray for Everton.
Demiray Gray, yeah.
Demiray, whatever. I don't know how to
pronounce Gray.
Okay, so he was purchased for, I believe, $8 million.
Super cheap.
$8 million. So
whatever
he was extremely cheap coming into an Everton side, which started off really good last year, kind of wasn't great, so they needed some help. And he's a phenomenal attacker. He's made 4 appearances with 3 goals. I mean, for $8 million, I think that's a phenomenal signing. I think that's one of my top three. My second one, a bit of a controversial one, especially for me to talk about, Donnarumma leaving on a free.
Yeah.
Again, hate him for it because he did that to his boyhood club, the club that made him who he is. But you know, we get over this. I still love him. I told the boys this. He's like an ex-girlfriend who cheated on you. Like, you're always gonna hate her, but you're always gonna be like, wow, like I miss them.
Ego.
No.
Do you care to expand? Are we turning this into a therapy session?
No. But I think on a free, I mean, that's ridiculous. Again, you're gonna have to be paying $12 billion in wages per year, but still, he's the goalkeeper.
So much less than $100 million.
He's the goalkeeper of the future. He will be the best. And then finally, I think Ronaldo, because again, $15 million, crazy. The wages are so much. He took a pay cut, so they're not that crazy. He's brought so many. You know, he's brought so many jersey sales within the first month that he's been there. Tickets are selling out for Manchester United games. They're getting record viewership on live television. I mean, he's going to bring the club. He's going to basically double the club's investment. So, again, you're getting a phenomenal player, and you're getting so much money because you're bringing in a name like Ronaldo. And the reason I'm not bringing Messi into this is because his wages are way higher than Ronaldo's. He's getting like 30 something from PSG. Again, he was on a free, but he's also going to a farmers league, so their viewership is not just like everybody already watching.
Stay with your chest, Ico.
Everybody who wants to watch PSG will watch PSG. Like, Messi's not going to change that much.
Messi's more of a name signing, I think, than Ronaldo is more of a player signing. I think they're signing the name.
I think it's actually just literally the opposite.
No. I think Manchester United bringing in Ronaldo, they're bringing in like goals, and they're bringing in like
I think a chance. PSG bringing in Messi is also bringing in goals.
What has Messi done for PSG yet?
He's played 2 games. I'm sorry to jump in right now, boys. You can't judge him on 2 games.
All right, go on, Aiden.
But also, I mean, PSG just like
they don't need him.
They bring in Messi. It's kind of like
they might need him.
It's kind of
they didn't win Ligue 1 last year, or they didn't.
They bring in Messi and they draw yesterday. Like, hey, well, come on, what's happening?
United lost to Young Boys and they brought in Ronaldo.
Well, listen, when they needed a goal most, instead of bringing in Ronaldo, they subbed him off, which is a bit.
Lingard had an assist though.
Lingard had a phenomenal assist to Young Boys.
All right. Well, Luke and I were talking about this at school. Luke, I believe you have the figure on what the number was for Man United versus Newcastle.
It was like 8.4 million.
It was the highest.
Broke the Premier League record.
Right. So let me say this. Let's just assume it's 8.4 million, because that's the number I think we discussed. Liverpool versus Everton 2 years ago or a year ago broke the record at 5.4 million. And now the new record is 8 million. I mean, it's the Ronaldo effect. Come on. It's ridiculous. And they don't even take into account the people that were watching it on illegal streams like me. Okay. So they have to take into consideration those numbers. But my three players, I would say Ronaldo, but since you both said it, I'm going to go ahead and say the one that you love to talk trash about, and that's Lionel Messi. For some reason, you think it's a money-only signing. Yes, he is going to, you know, obviously they have to pay him a lot, but he's going to sell out a million jerseys, a million tickets. Everyone's going to watch PSG.
It was 8.6 million.
8.6 million. There you go.
Continue that.
But Messi, we're talking about the greatest, one of the greatest, if not the greatest player ever, or of our generation, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. He is going to be one of the players that's going to help, you know, PSG win the Champions League or win Ligue 1. Again, they lost it last year. They lost to City in the Champions League. They didn't win the trophies they needed to win last year. Adding Ramos and Donnarumma and Wijnaldum and Hakimi and Messi, that's five pretty big players. But Messi he's old, but he's still world-class. We were just talking about how he's, you know, Eco said he's the number one front runner for Ballon d'Or. So PSG bringing him in on a free, the number one Ballon d'Or front runner, that's a pretty good deal. So that's my number one. Number two, I was thinking of saying Tammy Abraham, but he was 40 million. I don't think that's a steal. I think that's just a good signing. I'm going to go with Kurt Zouma to West Ham because good he signing. Was a player who was fantastic for Chelsea this past season. And West Ham bringing him in is just, I think, a fantastic signing. I don't believe
like 35 million.
No, it was less than that, I believe.
I would be jumping up and down if it was 35.
I'm pretty sure it was 35.
No, I think it was like 28.
Hold on.
Who wants to fact checking
it? I got it.
If it's 38 million, then I might. Was it really? It could not have been 38 million.
No. It was. Hold on.
Under 35. About, under over.
First of all, it was 38.5 million.
Wow. Okay.
So again.
Hey guys, I'm going to take that back.
That's a bit much. Listen, I love Kurt. That's a bit much.
I think it was good for him to get out of Chelsea, though.
Yes, but I think it was a great signing for West Ham, but
38.
It's not a steal. Well, we're talking about steals right now, and that's not a steal, so I apologize for that. I'm not good with the fees. So if I get a fee wrong at Eco, I'm going to need you to
see. You're going to have to be better later.
I guess I'll just say Griezmann.
No.
It's not a transfer loan, but I mean,
forgot about that.
We're talking about a guy who was in his prime at Atletico Madrid, went to Barcelona, played well for the most part. Got injured a couple times, but then wasn't playing, you know, up to par. Going back to the team where he made his career, I guess maybe you could say Sociedad as well. But I think this is a fantastic signing, and I don't know how much the option to buy is.
It's 40, but he has to play at least 50% of the games.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Such a good signing, though.
Yeah, it's a great signing for Atletico, just because it's a loan signing. And then I'm going to go with a Crystal Palace signing. Now, I don't know how much this was, but I'm going to go with Odson Edouard.
Yeah.
I've always loved this guy. You guys know I have his Celtic jersey, right? I've always loved this guy. He's led the Scottish Premier League in goals 2 years in a row, the last 2 years for Celtic. And Crystal Palace somehow gets him, scores twice in his debut, scores a minute after he comes on against the league leaders, Tottenham. Fantastic signing. And he hasn't, you know, someone's going to prove me wrong maybe, but so far he's done the job. Right, one appearance and two goals. I mean, come on.
One appearance.
But it was against Tottenham. You know, I love Edouard now. He's one of my favorite players.
Yeah,
because he brought down Tottenham single-handed.
He was a bit pricey. Again, not
how
that what, much 22? For like our type of clubs, but for a Crystal Palace club. He was $18 million. So
I think, yeah, but you know who else was
nothing.
You know who else was $18 million for Crystal Palace? Mark Gui. Exactly. That's 18. What's the better signing? Gui, and I love Gui. He's the Chelsea guy.
No, but
Gui for 18 or Odson for 18
is much better.
Right.
Yeah. Long term.
And we're talking about a guy. You know, Crystal Palace is the team that needs. I mean, they need pretty much everything they can need.
Era.
But they lost.
Whoa! No left wing needed.
Okay. Uh-huh. They lost Batshuayi and Benteke.
And
they're not great players. They're not. But they were all the strikers that Crystal Palace had. Now they bring in a striker who they know can score goals for the Scottish Premier League. Obviously, it's not a top five league, but I would say it's what, seventh?
Probably top 10.
Yeah, definitely a top 10 league. And he was the leading goal scorer in that league for 2 years straight. So why wouldn't you bring in Odson? He's the goal scorer that Crystal Palace needs to finish mid-table or to stay up in the Prem. So those are my three signings.
I do want to give a bit of a biased kind of opinion. Two pretty big steals, one bigger than the other. Maignan for 13 million. I mean, the best goalie in Ligue 1 last season, one of the better goalies in the world at the moment. He, for 12 million to replace Donnarumma, who, again, very irreplaceable player, but so far this season, Maignan has looked phenomenal. Obviously, you know, put his name out into the whole world with his performance yesterday versus Liverpool, saving a pen, played having a phenomenal game. I think he brings a lot to the team that Donnarumma didn't have. His passing, Donnarumma is very bad with his feet, passing like out of the box, long pass, whatever. Maignan is very good with that. Again, he hasn't reached the Donnarumma level that I know and love for our club, but I think he can get there. He's also pretty young. We got him, I mean, his total fee for what we bought him for plus his wages for his whole contract is going to be less than what Donnarumma makes in a whole year, and we have him for 5 years. So
how old is Maignan?
I believe he's 24 or 25.
Yeah,
so he's a good signing. Prime, probably.
But and also a little more expensive, but Fikayo Tomori. Obviously, we triggered the buy option, $32 million, I believe it was. I think that's phenomenal. I mean, we got a starting center back, probably the best center back in Serie A at the moment.
Because Romero left.
He's an amazing. Well, Romero's just wasn't the best, but
yeah, he was.
No, he wasn't.
He literally won the award for best defender in the Serie A.
No, Romero is such a. I mean, listen, look how he played versus AC Milan. 2-0.
Right.
So listen.
Statistically, though, I'm saying he was the best because he won the award for best defender.
But he just wasn't. He just wasn't.
But I don't care what
Modric won the Ballon d'Or in 2018. Was he the best player in 2018? No.
We literally just talked about it.
And we said Messi.
We just wrapped up that conversation. Okay. We're not going back there.
Listen. As I was saying, Tomori, the best defender in Serie A at the moment. Again, two pretty good signings. Obviously, also Tonali, 8 million. I feel like people just don't really talk about that.
But I feel
much.
Like we talked about this on the podcast. This is like old transfer.
No, it's not.
Didn't Tonali? We talked about this. Tonali wasn't this summer.
Yes, it was. Tonali was on loan with us.
Yeah, but we had talked about
with a buy option for like 20 million, and we brought it down to like 8 million. I mean, come on. Listen.
If only my team could make good signings. Yeah, Aiden's team, good signings. Ego's team,
how's Ben
good
White
signings.
For 50 million?
I got Tomiyasu, okay?
Dude, you got Ben White for the same, for more expensive.
Then Varane and Ronaldo combined. Okay.
Tomiyasu, Ben White, Tavares, Aaron Ramsdale.
And I've got to be happy with
Ramsdale.
Dude,
you're telling me you're not happy with your backup goalkeeper, Aaron Ramsdale, signing for 20?
I'm happy with Ramsdale because of what our club has been saying recently, basically saying that Leno's out and Ramsdale is going to be the starter next season.
Nobody wants
Leno. Well, he said he wants to go back to Germany, so he'll go to like a mid-table.
He'll go to
German
Nuremberg,
team.
I'm at Frankfurt, buddy.
I'm really happy with Sombi, actually.
He's like, good. He's actually
for
good.
Me the biggest. Really like good. That for Same me, guy. Like I was when they signed him, I was like, oh, I signed him in FIFA career mode once, and I guess he was good. And that was kind of all I knew
Luke
about
bases
him.
Bases his soccer.
Look at this guy.
But,
he's such a FIFA merchant.
That's but when he started playing, I was like, oh, this kid's actually like he's really good. So I'm really happy about that signing, kind of trying to fill some gaps in our still weak team. And obviously there's some positions that I still feel like we missed out on, probably a striker. Odegaard is a good signing, I guess. I don't know.
Probably your best signing, to be honest.
And then Tavares is a good backup fullback. I guess. You know,
you,
like,
you guys just spent basically $150 million yeah, on backups.
On backups. Yeah. When we have a weak starting lineup. So I don't know. I can't really be like, yay, that really worked, because like it hasn't like played out yet. But I also can't be like, ooh, this was so bad, because it also is like, you know, can't judge too early.
Relegation battle led.
I know. We're not in last though.
Because you scraped a win against Norwich.
May have been a shit goal, but it went in.
It went in. A goal is a goal, right? That's the main saying. That we say. It's funny because I was thinking when Ico was mentioning how they had a steal for Maignan. Goalkeepers are always a hit or miss, right? You get Chelsea, who pays $70 million for Kepa and then $16 million for Edouard Mendy. It's like Chelsea and Milan, both huge steals with the goalkeepers, Mendy and Maignan. Ramsdale.
Maignan, bigger steal.
UEFA Goalkeeper of the Year, Edouard Mendy. But anyway.
We won't get into it.
Ramsdale, I don't know why we made that signing, but we didn't have a backup goalie. We had a 16.
You don't need a backup goalie.
We had a
goalie. You don't need to spend $25 million on a backup goalie.
We had a 16-year-old on our bench.
That doesn't matter. Get a starting player.
He practiced with the first team for one day. Shambles. Literally one day he practiced the first team.
Donnarumma was 16 when he started for us.
Yeah, but he's actually good.
Whoa, the disrespect of Runar Runarsson.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Runarsson's out of the club. Wait, who's not Arsenal player anymore? Runarsson's like 20. It was like, I don't even know his name. It started with a D.
And are you talking about the guy who had that terrible own goal in preseason?
Yeah, he was 16.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. He's just this like massive, uncoordinated dude and just like could not make a save. Like, so then they were like, okay, we're just going to like get a backup goalie and then that's going to be that sorted.
I think.
But why spend 25 on a backup?
Ico, I have to say something about that. I mean,
AC Milan's backup costed us like $2 million.
And I don't think Arsenal had the. It may seem like Arsenal was going for a backup.
But I don't think Arsenal, we had that bad of a transfer window.
No, no.
I'd say very average.
Arsenal bought Ramsdale, in my opinion, not because he was a backup, but because he's young and that he will be the starter. They bought him so he would be the starter sooner
and,
or later.
Whether and it took a selling season, selling Emiliano Martinez funded that transfer.
I know.
But that's what's funding that transfer, right? So it's not like that money's just like,
yeah, let's give it. But you could put that money
into
something much better.
It probably should have gone to Awar. But
also, anybody who could ever say that Arsenal's not good because we don't get the funds that we need.
Oh, no,
spent
$150
million. Pounds this year.
Fourth biggest.
No, you were the number one spending club this summer, and you are not even close to having even.
Ben White overall cost less than Rafael Varane, putting it out there.
Even you don't even have a top 25 team, and you spent the most this summer. I mean,
Yeah.
That's why I was saying that. Yeah, you're right about the whole Emiliano Martinez. Now you have the funds for Ramsdale, but like,
yeah.
That's why I was mentioning Maignan and Mendy. You could have gotten a player like that, a starter.
Yeah.
Like, look at Milan went to the best team in Ligue 1 for that season and picked their goalie.
No, don't worry. I have given up on my team, but I still watch all the games. I still love them, but we're going to suck this season, and hopefully we won't suck next season.
You will.
I hope you get relegated.
I really do.
No, I don't think we will.
You get relegated, you're off the podcast. It's plain and simple. We can't have a
championship. What streaming service is that even on? ESPN?
Yeah, you'll have to go get ESPN Plus.
Get ESPN Plus now. Look, what's funny is that you hear the way Luke just said, I don't think we'll get relegated. Like,
it's in the back of my head.
That's what I'm saying. It shouldn't be like that when you're an Arsenal fan, such a big club, where you should be like, oh, we're not getting relegated. But you literally were like, oh, we're probably not going to get relegated. Like, it's
no. Like, 25% chance that we do, you know?
Well, the biggest chances ever.
Listen, we're talking a bit too much about a shitty club in Arsenal. So I think.
Dude, I have to blur all this out. You realize we're still a family channel.
Yeah,
right?
Very, very true. I think we should move on to another club who, quite the opposite to Arsenal, basically sold all of their players instead of spending money.
Inter,
selling two of their best three players in Hakimi and Lukaku.
Yeah,
almost selling Martinez as well for, $100 million. I would have accepted that bid in a second, but again, I don't know what they're doing over there. And then obviously having lost Conte, who's a great coach, who left because he wants to be at a team who's number one goal is to win. That's why he will not be replacing Arteta.
I want him so bad.
So I think they lost, the three biggest people in their club, Conte, Lukaku, and Hakimi. Do you think with the signings that they made in Dumfries?
Good sign.
Hakan Çalhanoğlu, who's the biggest snake in the world.
Their jerseys are snakes for a reason.
Yeah, I know. They designed it in dedication.
Just for.
They still have Barella, who, again, his contract is who knows what's going to happen with that. But do you think we're going to see the same Inter that we saw? Obviously, we saw them play versus Real Madrid yesterday, and they could do absolutely nothing.
Yeah, Real didn't do anything.
I don't think – I know that we're not going to see the same Inter. Obviously, forget about Hakimi and Conte for a second. Obviously, pretty big losses. Lukaku, their main source of goals – gone. And then of course you would look at Conte and say, like, he's a fantastic manager. I would know firsthand that he's a fantastic manager. He's probably my favorite manager that Chelsea's ever had. Of course I have to kind of say Tuchel now because he brought us the Champions League, but Conte was incredible. So Inter losing their best player and their world-class manager is obviously going to take a huge toll on the club. And you said, you know, they were liquidating, right? That was their plan.
Well,
they were in debt.
And I'm like 99% sure about this. They were so far in debt that the Chinese government was like, had like basically ownership over the team.
Yes.
So they had to liquidate so that they could pay back that debt.
Yeah, they're owned by a bunch of Chinese owners that were like, gotcha. Hey, we're just gonna like.
I think it's just one group.
And yeah, they were like, we're gonna get out if you don't start. You know,
right.
Making some money. So we're like, okay, let's make some money. And they sold Lukaku for as much as they physically could.
Here's the thing. So like I said, I don't think they're going to win Serie A. But where I am a little...
Milan, baby.
You know, I'm a little back and forth right now is that I think it's very rare for a team to have such an amazing season 1 year and then be so bad the next. We've seen that with Chelsea. When they won the league and then finished 10th and then won the league the next year. Like that was such a rare occurrence. We don't really see that very often. So I think Inter is definitely going to finish in a Champions League spot. And I think one that they're going to have to compete with is maybe Roma with Jose and Tammy. And
Tammy.
Yeah.
Listen. I this conversation made me remember.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've done a podcast since the Serie A season is over. So I'd just like to say to Aiden, at the start of the season when I said, I think AC Milan has a very good chance of winning the league this year. And he laughed at me.
They didn't win the league. So
we came
in second. Close.
We came in second. We were the highest placed team out of this pot. Well, Arsenal, obviously.
We're the second highest placed team.
Between me and Aiden, we were the highest placed team. But also
compared to Arsenal anymore.
I was going to say, Luke's not even comes.
I got to say, in the conversation with Inter, obviously, they've still got talent. They've still got good players. Okay. You know, they have Barella, Hakan, who can, I literally hate it. Like he is the biggest
guy.
He's mid. He's not amazing.
But when he's at Milan, he's a god, right?
I actually didn't love him towards the end of the season, but we won't get into that. Whatever. They've still got big names on their team, but I don't think they're gonna qualify for UCL this year. Mm-hmm. I honestly believe. If Juventus can
pull it together.
Yeah, pull it. I was trying to make a clean version of that. Pull it together. I think we're going to see, honestly, Milan looks like the most put together club at the moment. I think top four will be Milan. Roma right now looks phenomenal. I mean, I love Jose and Tammy, obviously making a huge difference. But a lot of their players who have been with them for a long time are really showing up this season as well. And to me, Milan, Roma, again, Juventus, if they can get if they can get it together and start playing Chiesa. And then, honestly, I would say like Atalanta. Lazio's really bad. So I feel like Atalanta can stick there. It's really
the only Atalanta signed this season. Well, they had Gosens who did really well.
But they didn't really sign anybody big. But the only loss was Romero, which
is whatever. Okay.
So I think we're going to see that top four. And then, honestly, I'm so happy to say this. I think we're going to see Inter 5 or 6.
Well, I disagree.
The new manager, completely, not completely, a very
different system, different
weird team. Lineup because they lost basically 3 starters. Also, most of their good players are getting a bit older, as in their back line is getting pretty old at the moment. So again, I just don't think they're going to be able to keep up with the young talents that the rest of Italy got to sign this summer.
Okay, that's fair.
Realistic though.
Also, real quick, a little side note. What is with you and the disrespect to Romero? Honestly, I don't get it.
He's not that, like, he's not. The fact
he's
that he
silver
was.
Silver in FIFA.
The fact that they pit. No, Luke, don't.
That's your thing,
about,
Luke.
You are the FIFA merchant.
Yes.
The fact that he was 50 million is ridiculous because, first of all, one good season. I mean, come on now. Relax. He had one good
fantastic
year.
Season, though.
You like do have to respect Eco's opinion because he is the only one that actually watches Serie A.
I personally watch him a lot. And he's good, obviously, but he's not like a Virgil van Dijk where when he steps on the field, he is like gonna make a big difference.
A Virgil van Dijk.
No, I'm just saying he's not making that big of a difference that if you take him out, the back line is like decimated, like we saw with Liverpool last year. They lost Virgil and the back line was just basically not there.
Terrible.
Yeah. But obviously for Levy, who's the guy that runs Tottenham?
Daniel Levy.
Yes,
the one that looks like Gru. For him, you know, 50 million is a lot of money. Like, is Romero not only worth the 50 million, but for squad reasons, is he going to go in and start for that 50 million? Like, because, you know, but is that 50 million? But is that Eric Dier? You're forgetting Lord Dier. But is.
Okay.
Is still
you
50 million?
I mean, listen, I was just talking about how bad Romero, how not that good Romero is.
But for Spurs. Could they have spent that 50 million in so much of a better position? And also we're going to assume that Harry Kane, that the 50 million transfer doesn't influence Harry Kane in any way. Cause then it would be like 150 million that they have to spend.
Are you saying, are we trying to like look at what Tottenham should have done?
Yeah. Like
Kane maybe leaving. Is that what you're saying?
No. Is instead of getting Romero, is there a better signing that they probably should have made?
Yes.
You don't really need attacking, do you?
Not a better signing. I mean, they.
All right, guys, bit of technical difficulties. I believe Eco was about to mention a certain Tottenham player.
So as I was saying, I think their biggest mistake was letting Sissoko go. Whether or not he wanted out, I think they really should have pushed, like they pushed with Harry Kane to keep him, because who's going to replace it? They need to hold on to these players because these are very good starting caliber players. And you know, when you're a team like Tottenham who doesn't like to spend the money, you should at least try to keep the players that you have in your organization and like keep them within the organization.
I think to answer your question about, you know, could they have made a better signing, I mean, Aouar was one of their targets. You know, they were trying to hijack the Arsenal deal. Obviously no one ended up with them. I think Aouar would have been the best signing, but yeah, look at the back line. You just said Sanchez and Dier. It's like that's the center back partnership that you want to help you, you know, qualify for Europa or qualify for Champions League.
Relax with the disrespect on Sanchez. He's a phenomenal defender. He had
he's good
start to the season.
Yep. Who does he start with?
That's what I'm just saying. The partnership.
You know,
you can't win. You know, they say defense wins championships, not with one defensive player.
Well, Tottenham's not winning championships anyways.
What's wrong with Aurier? Why are they just letting him walk?
He would be a wing back, wouldn't he?
Well, he's their right back.
Well, they have Doherty.
Again, Luke, you're going off FIFA just because Doherty has a higher rated card.
But no. But
Aurier
they,
just
have,
so
but
much
they
better.
Have another right back. Like, it's not like
about center backs.
Yeah, it's not like Arsenal just letting like.
But they shouldn't let him go because he was good for them last year.
I'm thinking, listen. Aouar would have been a better signing for Tottenham. I'm just basing it off of targets that they had, like rumors that rumor players are going to sign. But yeah, Romero's a bit pricey, but it's the Prem. When you have that money, you're going to spend money on those players. You're going to take those gambles. It's going to be like, you're going to take that big gamble for Maguire, that big gamble for Kepa, big gamble for Ben White. And a lot of it doesn't pan out. I would say Maguire did. Maybe not 80 million, but you know, he was good.
He's pretty good.
Kepa for 70 million, bad. Ben White for 50 million. It's too early to tell, but it's not looking like it's going to be great.
Not great. So
Romero for 50 million. It's like, if that's all that they were going to accept, if Atalanta was only going to accept 50 million and nothing less, I don't see a problem with Tottenham splashing the cap.
Emerson Royale also going to Tottenham, which I think that was a good signing. I forgot about that. That's why Aurier left. No, he's a right back.
Right back.
But I completely forgot what. Oh yeah. Why sign Pierre Gallini? I mean, he's a great keeper. I think he's awesome.
How much?
He's not starting over Lloris. Like, he's just not.
Yeah, but how much was he? You know,
it's a loan option to buy. Yeah. It's a loan option to buy.
Okay, find backup. Lloris isn't going to be there forever.
Yeah, but again, just unnecessarily spent money.
They lost their backup. I'm going to say his first name, Paulo. And
Paulo.
I'm pretty sure, I don't know where he went, but he...
Antwerp, I believe.
Yeah, he went out. So I think that was also just another, like, we need a backup. Like,
and he wasn't a bad keeper, though.
No,
Lloris got injured, right? He did that weird arm break thing, hyperextension.
It's called a dislocated shoulder.
That.
He played well when I had him. I had Gazzaniga on my fantasy team. So that's why I was like, you know, he was performing well, because you know, I guess you could say a world-class-ish player like Lloris,
he's world-class.
When you dislocate your elbow and you have to rely on a player like Paulo Gazzaniga to step in and be the starter,
won the World Cup.
That doesn't make him
Benjamin
Mendy won the World Cup. Is he now world-class? He's in jail. Relax.
He doesn't play football anymore.
He does, just not on the field. He plays like concrete.
Let's calm down.
All right. No, but I think Gallini was a fine signing. Fine. I don't think that it was bad at all. I think that he could be the starter. Again, Tottenham could probably splash money on a starter once Lloris is done, but what's wrong with Gallini?
Speaking of unnecessary signings,
more for Arsenal?
Saul to Chelsea. Listen, he's a good player.
I think that just hurts Atletico Madrid.
But like, why? Like, Chelsea just did not need him. They should have used the money that they were going to spend, tacked on a little bit more, and gotten Koundé, because they just don't need Saul.
Oh jeez. Oh.
He's gonna start over Conte. He's gonna start over Jorginho. He's gonna start over Mason Mount. He's not starting over Kovacic.
Wait,
I mean, like, he's your fifth.
Hold on. I need to say something.
I'm not gonna let you talk. He's your fifth.
Oh, no.
He's your fifth midfielder.
Let me say something about Koundé and Saul. Well,
Koundé didn't work.
You said we should have splashed more on Koundé. We couldn't get the deal done. We had personal terms agreed. And the only way we were going to get Koundé is if we paid 80 million for him.
You paid 50 for Saul, just tack on 30 to that. Money's nothing to you guys.
It's a loan option to buy.
No, it had a loan fee, big loan fee.
5 million loan fee. Oh.
Yeah, but it's just so
unnecessary. Now let me mention something about Saul. Okay. He's a good player. I know that he's a good player. Listen. He's a good player. He's not going to start over Kovacic. He's not going to start over Jorginho or Conte. He's not better than the three, but he's a good depth player, and it's a good rotation player. Conte got injured last season. Kovacic got injured last season, and Jorginho got injured for a little last season. We need to be prepared. Conte missed most of two seasons ago with an injury. We need to be prepared. We need the depth. It's so important now that we're playing Champions League, Carabao Cup, EFL Cup, or FA Cup, and Prem. It's important to have the rotation. We need.
How'd that first game go for Saul?
Not great.
Well, first of all, Luke, relax. I know. Okay, don't talk, because how'd your first three games go for your whole club?
Not great, and I'm happy to admit it.
I mean, is this a new thing where new players don't have a good first game? New environment?
But I'm not saying that. I'm not saying he's not a good player. I'm just saying it was just so unnecessary.
It's not unnecessary. It's a 5 million loan fee for a rotation player to prevent injuries from happening.
But it's just unnecessary.
It's just not unnecessary at all. I'm sorry. Agree to disagree, honestly, because it is.
No. I'm not agreeing to disagree. I'm telling you.
You're disagreeing. Unnecessary. You're just disagreeing.
I mean, you can say that all you want. I mean, Saul's a very good signing. It's not like we splashed 50 million on him. It was a 5 million loan fee option to buy. We don't have to buy him. The way I see it is this is a way to prevent injuries from happening in our midfield, which is something that we've
okay. Seen so times. While we're on the talk about Chelsea,
timeout. Wait, real quick.
Relax. We're not.
Oh, no, I'm absolutely interrupting this. I don't.
Yeah, so that's not going to happen. Blabber. So let me just.
We should talk about Hakim Ziyech.
No, hold on.
And that he wanted out of the club. And
no, we shouldn't. That's just.
Oh, we should.
That's like the least important thing in this.
Let's give Luke a round of applause.
No, because Aiden's going to say it's a good signing. Eco's going to say it's a bad signing.
No, he didn't sign for anybody this summer. What do you mean a good signing?
No, Saul.
What?
Right, Luke.
Don't even bring up Ziyech. What I was going to say is we all know, we don't have to argue. AC Milan had the best transfer window this summer. Okay, relax. Yeah. You can't even argue with that. Who's No, out of us three.
Right? Oh, okay, yeah.
Chelsea had the best net spend.
No.
We had the most net spend.
Well, sure, but... and you ended up with the worst team out of the three of us, so...
We had the worst team already.
But I'm talking, like, with, like, players who are going to influence and impact your team, I believe we had the best transfer window.
But you guys were already on the top. We're now on the bottom. We had the most influence.
No, again, Luke, you're not a part of this conversation. AIDS,
I can agree that maybe, you know, you did have a great transfer window in terms of money as well. Obviously, Chelsea's net spend, you know, taking consideration the players that we sold, I think we got a lot of good deals in terms of letting players go and getting a lot of money for them. But, and I know this guy was expensive, very, very expensive, but the one thing that Chelsea was lacking was a complete striker that was scoring goals up front, and that's Romelu Lukaku. I mean,
but
that's the best signing, I think, of the summer. I think so.
Okay. I don't think so.
Chelsea's the best team in Europe right now. They won the Champions League, and all they needed was
As per FIFA's rules, even if you win the biggest tournament for what you can compete in, that doesn't make you the best. Because
we're the champions of
Italy's number five.
But we're the champions of Europe.
Did you see Bayern is most likely to win the Champions League?
They won last year too.
But how is PSG not? No offense to Chelsea. How is PSG just not?
We got the trophies.
Yeah, it's probably that. Actually, Bayern being up there makes sense though, because they normally do well.
Well, yeah.
Hot take by Luke.
But Bayern, that's why they're up there. Well.
Breaking news, Daka has scored his first goal for Leicester City.
He was a good signing.
He just scored 2-0 right now.
He was cheap, right?
He was like 18, no, 50.
Where is he from?
I don't know.
Arundi, Salzburg?
Oh.
Yeah. Ooh. He was from the Austrian League.
Yeah, Salzburg.
I believe so.
Yeah, anyone from the Austrian League is coming from Salzburg. Holland. Yeah. What's his name? Wang Hee Chan, who also scored his first goal.
Adeyemi.
He was a good signing, this summer.
Very, very good signing. I mean, his goal was a bit of a wonky one, but hey, a goal is a goal, and he's a good player.
Ooh, I have a topic. Can we talk about Pedri? He's so good. He's literally so good.
He's great. All right, topic over.
Watching Spain makes me like so excited about him because it's like this kid is so good, and
what's
he is like.
Feeling?
What?
What's his ceiling?
He doesn't have one.
Yeah.
No, every player's got a ceiling.
No.
His ceiling for me, yeah.
No, they don't. What do you mean?
Yeah. Well,
nobody knows. He could become the greatest in the world.
I'm confused.
No, Daka has officially not scored his first goal for Leicester. It has been ruled out by VAR. No, what I mean by ceiling is, for me, I look at his ceiling as Iniesta level. Is that what he, like, what's the potential he can reach is what I'm saying.
He could get to Iniesta level.
He can reach any potential because look at what he's doing at 18 years old.
He's killing it right now.
I don't think he is going to be Iniesta level.
I think he's going to be, you're right. Aiden, I agree with you. I think he's going to be better.
Don't say it. Oh, no.
Come on, Ludovico, let's go.
He's not going to be better than Iniesta.
Hold on. The only thing that would hold him back is the team he's surrounded by. Because look at what Iniesta had, and look at what Pedri has. I mean, Iniesta was passing it up to Ronaldinho, Messi, you know, all these legends. Who's Pedri passing it up to?
Luke de Jong.
downgrade, right?
Like Dembele, like woo. Like,
yeah.
Relax.
I get what you're saying, but it's too early to even. It's like when people were calling Phil Foden the Stockport Iniesta. It's like it's a funny joke, but like
turns out
Phil Foden's
good.
That good. I don't.
No,
think
I
he's
think
that
he's good.
I think he's a little overrated.
No, you guys,
I think you guys underestimate how good Iniesta was. That you're already saying Pedri, and people are saying Foden.
Yeah, but how good was Iniesta when he was 19?
I think English players
really are, good.
Yeah, he was really, really good.
Really good.
Yeah.
Well, because I wasn't really particularly alive then.
Well, neither were we.
So
great quote, but I wasn't like particularly alive.
So I don't have anything to like compare.
Yeah, there's Google.
Like, any, you know, I know.
You know,
but
I mean, how can we say anything about players like you know R9 or Pele? We weren't around them. For you know, we weren't alive when they were in their prime or playing at all. I mean, Pele is what, 75 years old, and we can
he's a bit up there in age.
We can still recognize the fact that he's one of the greatest players of all time, as well as Maradona and Cruyff.
Is he still world class? Okay, game today is going to be based off of obviously transfer window wrapped up recently, crazy transfer window. We're not going to be talking about any of like the super top transfers because everyone knows how much those cost. We're going to be talking about a couple of transfers that I think were really good for teams, a couple of transfers that I think are really improving teams. And this is all based off of transfermarket.co.uk. These are not values that I'm just like picking out of nowhere. It's based off of that. I've got five players written down, all with their transfer values. You're going to try
transfer values or how much
how the fee, the fee, sorry, the fee, not like how much they're worth. And you guys are going to try to guess how much whatever team paid for them. All right.
Right.
You guys ready?
Did you write that all down before you said it?
Nope. Off the dome. So first we're going to go with a player that I'm very excited to watch this season. Eduardo Camavinga.
I don't even remember. It's funny because I should know this.
I know it. Unless they're super close answers, I'm not going to know it.
No, this was. I actually think this is a really good signing, especially for this price. And when I was looking on Transfer Market, you could kind of see like
just give us
best signings.
Give us the numbers.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Oh, flip it.
Wait, we don't get options?
No.
Oh my.
You have to guess.
Oh my god.
He's new to the game stuff.
You got to guess it.
All right, I have my answer though.
It's closest to it gets the point.
Okay.
Yeah.
3, 2.
But yeah. Wait, whoa. Are we talking dollars or euros?
Just dollars.
Okay.
Dollars? Really?
It gave me it in dollars.
Oh yeah, my gosh.
Transfer Market does it in dollars.
Yeah, it.
When do we ever do dollars? All right.
The transfermarket.co.uk put it in dollars.
Ready?
Wait, well, hold on. If it's in dollars, then I got to
check. I don't know the conversion, so I'm just going to put a number down. Dollars. Oh my goodness.
Okay, ready?
3, 2, 1.
Oh, Eco's closer. It's actually more than what both of you put.
Was it 30? Because I had 30.
34.1.
Okay.
Oh, what's that in euros?
I had 30, but like 30 awesome. Euros, 30 million euros would be like, I don't
34
know.
34 million like euros.
Yeah, do the conversion for me.
$34 million in euros. 29 mil.
So Eco would have won.
So Eco would have gotten it either way.
Okay. Wait. So
Harvey Barnes just scored, by the way.
That already happened.
Okay. Next player. This was a signing that was actually made before the transfer window opened up, and it's Deo Upamecano.
I don't remember.
Which I think is also a pretty good signing. Bayern really just taking everything from Leipzig here.
By the way, flashback to last summer when AC Milan almost did a swap deal for him with Romagnoli, and then we were like, no, Romagnoli's better.
Yeah,
and dollars are more, yes.
Dollars are more. I think it's like $1.2 to £1. Something like that.
What's the equivalent there?
He's like converting
it. I'm waiting for
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go on.
43. Oh shoot, Eco won again.
Actually, well, it's 46.75. So I think is Eco closer?
I believe. Wait, Luke, like would you write?
No, what?
Aiden, would you write?
43.
Wrote 43.
And what's the answer?
46.75.
No, I'm closer.
I think Eco's closer by.
Oh no, Aiden
5.
Is. No, that's me. I'm 3.25.
I'm terrible at math, but that I know that.
5.
Wait, hold on, Aiden.
No,
would you write?
Aiden's Aiden's 3.75 off. You're 3.25.
Yeah.
2-0.
Wait, what?
Wait, are we sure, Luke? I have 50.
No.
What?
Wait, I'm gonna. Oh, Napoli just scored.
Hold on, do the math on that.
Luke, how much was he?
Minus 46.75.
Yes.
Eco 3.25.
Oh, I know that, but I think Aiden is like.
Why? It's too early, bro. It's too early.
46.08.
I think Aiden's 2.75.
That's what I think. Yeah, because 43, 46, and 46 to 50 is
3.75.
What?
I just put it in. So Eco, no.
So basically, I'm just better.
Yeah, by $500,000.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't make the rules. All right.
No, but you do dollars. Who does
next dollars? One? You could convert it. Next one is one that I was kind of excited about, and I think we're just going to have to see, is Leon Bailey going to Aston Villa. He's part of the Grealish money that they spent. Good signing, in my opinion, actually.
You got it or no?
Yeah.
The speedy Jamaican. I can't. 22, 20. Much more than what both of you
get in.
35.2 is now 2-1 for eight.
Dollars.
Would have gotten it anyways.
I know. Well, I got it. I won.
Next one is a player that Aiden loves more than anything in life.
Mishi Batshuayi.
Tammy Abraham.
Oh,
I know it.
I know it in, I don't know it in dollars. It's 40 million euros. I already mentioned that in the podcast. So that's not giving anything away here.
Wait, 30 million euros or pounds? Or 40 million euros or pounds?
I don't know. Eco's converting in calculator right now.
No. I just have the idea in my head.
Eco's going to get like 40.00001.
Yeah, I've got it.
Eco, whenever you are ready, buddy.
I think Eco beats me on this because I can't do math. Put 47.
Oh, Eco's won. $44 million.
Yeah, I knew it was something.
But you guys were actually both ballparked pretty good.
Well, yeah, because we know the actual fee in normal money that they use in all of Europe, which is euros.
I just didn't want to change it. Well, okay.
I know, that's lazy.
And then next
dollars because you're in America.
I think that this is actually one of the better signings of the summer. Marcel Sabitzer, really good signing, obviously went to Bayern.
Again, I know it in euros.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, don't say it.
Got it.
So I'm just gonna.
Ready?
Maybe.
Okay. It's 15 million euros.
254 million euros.
Eco, you actually got it on the dot, 16.5.
Yeah, because I think it was 15 million euros.
That's a 4-1 win from Motive Eco.
Dollars. Just, I'm going to get you so good in the next dominated. Game. I'm getting next game, by the way. It's over.
Okay. Wait, I'm going to make a paper airplane. All
right, guys, listen. We took a pretty big gap in Inside the D. Obviously, we spent the whole summer without doing a single podcast.
Our TikTok was still up and running, though. Thanks and we were doing a lot of work behind the scenes.
We were. So hopefully, obviously, school is going to get in the way. College's stuff is coming up, guys. We're going to try and get into a consistent, run of posting episodes. And we'll try and get back to the consistency we once had. But that does it for the return episode of Inside the D. We will see you in the next one.